is our last week of using movies. We used the month of August to use movies to get a glimpse into life, and we thought we'd end it with an Oscar winner. So today we talk Chariots of Fire. Now, the original tagline for Chariots of Fire says it well. This is the story of two men who run, not to run, but to prove something to the world. They will sacrifice anything to achieve their goals, except their honor. Chariots of Fire tells the true story of two British track athletes, one a determined Jew and the other a devout Christian, who compete in the 1924 Olympics. This movie is epic, and it could be in countless different sermons. But as I watched it again, it's been years since I've seen this one. As I watched it again, I was so struck by the words of one of those men, Eric Little, one of the runners. He's a Scottish runner, and he comes from a family of missionaries, and after the races, he'll gather together for an impromptu tent meeting of sorts and offer a sermon. And one of those sermons on a rainy day could have just been our sermon for the morning. He stood there in front of that group, and he said this. Of course, he said it with a really great Scottish accent, but I'm not going to try. You came to see a race today, to see someone win. It happened to be me. But I want you to do more than just watch a race. I want you to take part in it. I want to compare faith to running in a race. It's hard. It requires concentration of will, energy of soul. You experience elation when the winner breaks the tape, especially if you've got a bet on it. But how long does that last? You go home. Maybe your dinner's burnt. Maybe you haven't got a job. So who am I to say believe and have faith in the face of life's realities? I'd like to give you something more permanent, but I can only point the way. I have no formula for winning the race. Everyone runs in their own way, or her own way, or his own way, their own way. And where does the power come from to see the race to its end? Power comes from within. Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. If with all your hearts you truly seek me, you shall surely find me." If you commit yourself to the love of Christ, then that is how you run a straight race. I want to prepare faith to running a race, he says. Well, he's not alone. Such imagery appears throughout our scriptures. In his letter to Hebrews, Paul writes this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." And in 2 Timothy, Paul again uses the race to make his point. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I especially appreciate the scripture that we find in Hebrews as it emphasizes the role of those around us, those that surround us and encourage us onward. Now, I'm not much of a runner. I did 1 year of cross country and I ended up doing more push-ups than running because I was so bad. But what I found was it was the people around me that made it worthwhile. And we as people of faith are surrounded, as the scripture reminds us, by such a cloud of witnesses. Both those alive and those who have passed on. Surround us in our life. And it's an important part of our ability to persevere by their example, by their encouragement, by their care. Now, in Chariots of Fire, the storyline weaves us through the relationships all of these runners have with family, with friends, with coaches and teammates, and, as Olympians, the people of the country that they represent. It's very significant that neither of the main characters would have accomplished what they did without the encouragement, accountability, and a time sacrifice of others who helped them get to where they were. And that, too, is part of our race. It's a very important piece, that working together, but also the things that others can help us recognize it's time to put down. For as that scripture mentions, we too often carry the weight of life, and it needs to be put down. Perhaps you know this feeling. What it is to feel like in the midst of the motions of life, yet are weighed down by something. have to carry the weight of life. Now, though not a racing story, it does remind me of a journey story from my own background. When I used to lead hikes to church camp counseling, one very special week, we were out on our hike. It was a great group of teens, and we were out with an all-day hike. It's one I've done many, many times, and I was enjoying myself. As the day got on, I was getting more and more tired, which was just a touch out of character. Usually, I was just invigorated throughout the day, and it just kept getting harder and harder and harder. And on our last water break, I was talking to the co-counselor as the kids were sort of doing their thing, and I was like, I can't believe how exhausted I am. And she started laughing at me. She said, have you checked your backpack? I said, no. One of those little tubes that lets the water come out. And she goes, look in your backpack. So I go over to the backpack, and I do the zippers, and I open it up, and my backpack is full of rocks. Encourages us to lay aside every weight, to let go of the things that we carry. It strikes me that just like that day, this can happen in our own lives. Life has a way of sneaking up on us and adding to our load without us even noticing sometimes. And when we're encouraged to lay aside those weights, I would add that we need to take the time to know what we're carrying. We have to take time and reflection to inventory our lives. What are we really carrying along with us? Where did it come from? Does it need to be there? Is it time to let it go? And if we don't know, we need people who will tell us what we've picked up along the way and remind us of how it affects us. Harold Abraham, the Jewish runner in the film, he finds such wisdom from his coach. He's running and he gets this coach and reminds him, listen, you're overstriving. You're working so hard, it's negatively affecting you. That's what's keeping you from success. You're so caught up on having to get there. What's keeping you from it? It's a strange running paradox. Cannot that be true of us? That we strive so hard for a result that we end up missing out on it because of our own effort? That actually is one of the dangers of the race metaphor in my mind. It's something a lot of us struggle to read these scriptures about racing, and you'll notice in the call to worship and in the prayer today, we often use the word journey a lot more. Because the moment you start to use the word race, whether it's in a scripture or a pastor, when you start to use that, it immediately conjures up images of competition. Because I'm unaware of any sport that has people race without either competing against a person or a lot. It seems like the definition of racing is that you have to beat someone or something or be better than yourself. And we too can risk seeing life as a race that has winners and losers. Such is the plight of Harold Abrahams, who in the first three lines of the movie mentions to someone that he has never lost a race. And when he does lose that first race, even if it's only one, it crushes his self-image. It almost destroys his ability to run. He honest to goodness is ready to walk away from it, saying, if I can't win, I won't run. Dangerous attitude to go into life with. Now, this attitude in the movie is contrasted by the other runner, Eric Little. In fact, he is the man who beat Harold in that race. Eric is a man who runs because it's who he is. It's what he believes God has given him the ability to do. And he wants to share that gift and use it to glorify God. For him, it's not the finish that matters, but the effort put into the race. Folks, this is the good race. This is how one runs that good race. It's not about the result, but about the participation in each and every step along the way. It's about reaching within ourselves to offer what we find there to the world. Now, for many of us, that's not speed. There's something. And one of my favorite lines in the entire movie is Eric Little's description of where the ability to run the race of faith and life comes from? He simply says, it comes from within. Because it leads me to the question, what's within? The answer to this question for Eric and for me come the words of the prophet Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not fade or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even the young will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Here we are reminded that the very God that has placed us on this journey is the source of everything we will need to journey on. And we know that means life can make us weary, life can make us faint, life can leave us exhausted. And when it does, we have to find something that's bigger than ourselves yet within us to keep us going. James Fire culminates its entire story in the 1924 Olympics. Interestingly enough, because the 100-meter dash, the event that Abraham and Little were really supposed to have their final competition in, because the qualifying meets are on a Sunday, Eric Little refuses to run. Because the Sunday is God's. Like I said, there's a lot of sermons. And because of this, there's a teammate whose help and encouragement invites him, instead of running the 100-meter, to run the 400-meter. Now, this is a significantly different race. It's not the shorter sprint that he's used to. The other 400-meter runners are wondering what it'll be like to race him, and their coaches completely dismiss him. Ah, he's a sprinter. He'll burn out before he reaches the halfway point. He doesn't have it in to finish a race like this. This moment isn't just the culmination of the storyline, but truly the power of our metaphor today. Because there are moments in our lives when we are faced with challenges that seem too big for us, that seem too hard, that ask too much of us, that we in the world question our ability to get through. These are the moments we're invited to wait on the Lord. For we promise him that we can find hope. It is hope for all people, that our strength will be renewed, that we will mount up with wings like eagles, that we can run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. Now that is not to say that we won't find those moments difficult. It's not to say that we will not have to give it our all. But it is to say that we will make it through. That we will finish. That we can run that way.